once humanity on a grassroots level realizes that there is a problem, they start looking and searching for solution, and sooner or later they'll find it. They may look in places that they shouldn't be looking for solution, that some people say this is a waste of time, but the reality and the beauty of it is they are investigating and finding a solution. That's the excitement. It's not somebody sleeping. Somebody's absolutely aware and awakened, and now they want the truth, or they want to look for it. And that really makes me so excited. We are not dreaming. We are not sleeping. We're up, and we'll find it, figure it out.
You talk about economics of the future. What are the elements of the economic system of the future?
Well, this is nothing new, that from the beginning of time of Adam Smith, there were people who were questioning the assumptions that were, you know, economic system was built on. You know, the most fundamental was the maximizing satisfaction, and basically saying that whatever man does is to satisfy himself. And so they built a system around that. And there were people say, well, there is more to man than that. Not everything he does is just maximizing that sense in terms of money and everything. So what I'm trying to say, or I'm just saying, is nothing new. The system is so deprived of morality, humanity in that sense, because money is the criteria to measure success, to measure growth, and that's not really a good yardstick. In my mind, and lots of people, is that we need to think of alternative yardstick. And there is now organization to call it, the gross national happiness. They're questioning the whole standard by which we are measuring progress. And they say, no, you could be making tons of money, but you may not be happy. And that's the criteria they are measuring. So my basically repeating what other people have said before, we need to introduce some humanity, some spirituality in the system, so that people to care for each other, because we are all in this planet together and we have to take care of it. We cannot just close your eyes and say me, me, me. And it's all about me. And as we have now the 1% rich people of the world have, recently I wrote an article and said, why do we close our eyes to this statistics? 82% of the whole wealth of the world in 1 year goes to 1%. And meanwhile, 3.7 billion poor peoples, their life didn't change. I mean, these statistics are criminal. And I really believe that we all, in one sense, we have a responsibility to do something. I just write about it and talk about it. But also, I believe that making it easier to a small step. So in my book, I talked about a small step. And the most important step and simple is just honesty. When we do business, try to be honest. I mean, that's not really earth-shattering, but it got amazing implication when you're not hiding the bad things about your products, your house, your car, or whatever. Being honest about it, that's amazing foundation to build a system, rather than say, I don't care, I'm just going to sell this and make the maximum profit, and that makes me a very successful man. To me, that's not really successful. It's just being selfish.
What are some of the other elements of the economic system that you envision, and then a lot of other people are beginning to really embrace as economics of the future?
The whole assumption, and this was one, the other one was the whole concept of laissez-faire, or kind of a free-for-all. There is an invisible hand. Adam Smith says that it controls the market, checks itself, and everything will be okay. And most of capitalistic economies, they supported that don't interfere, don't do anything till depression happens, or we had 2008, the crash. Because they're saying government and other people stay away, everything will correct itself. But reality was a bunch of greedy people. They went berserk and they did what they did, and they almost collapsed the whole economic system. So the whole idea that we shouldn't interfere, it is communist. Oh my God, this is a socialist. It's like a worst insult in the world. But reality is democracy and the economic system really hasn't contributed much. And the biggest evidence is the gap between rich and poor every year. So we have to re-examine our assumption. We have to re-examine all those assumptions we made that we shouldn't interfere, government should stay away, and you know, self-interest is the best motivator and corrector of the market and all, and start creating a new set of assumptions based on different ideas and build a system. So that's what I'm saying. And meanwhile, since we don't have a system, we cannot sit on the side and do nothing. We can do so many small things. We can, as I give an example, is being honest, you know, about things. There's so many other examples in my book. I think maybe 60 different small things that one can do, which basically goes back to being honest and truthful.
Give us some examples. I know one of my favorites is to be able to spiritually justify every expenditure.
That is a, you know, one of those big questions of life. You know, what is the purpose of my life?
That's and, really, you know, profound. You know,
that, yeah,
that has
it is.
A lot of implications.
Exactly. For me, there are three basic questions in life in my small brain. I've simplified the three. You know, who am I? What is the purpose of my life? And how much is enough? Now, how much is enough? It may sound simple a statement, but it really implies so much. That means self-awareness, self-knowledge, that you know who you are, you know your relation in the big picture, and then say, you know what, I don't care, everybody says I should be a millionaire, but 75,000 is good enough for me, and I'm happy. This is this self-awareness and self-knowledge to know what exactly you need is something missing in our society. People, they think the more is better. Not necessarily. Most of the time, the more you have, more headache you're creating for yourself. And if you go back to the spiritual principle, more materialistic, you have more tested. And you are tested. So in one way, the Sufis, I'm basically a mystic in heart. I love those things. So when you talk to a Sufi or mystic, you'll say, you know, these are poison, you don't need it. I mean, that is extreme. But the other part is also, you know, worshipping money and building your life around it. So somewhere you have to draw the line and say, how much is enough? And be content. That contentment is the source of happiness. And that's what our society is missing. Not being content because we have been told by our system, economic system, other people in the TV, social media, the more is better and you should have more.
You have a list of practical suggestions for every day. Can you give us some of those that are related to business and people who are in business?
Well, one of them that I personally felt was, you know, there are people who rent places and this is their income. They buy houses or businesses, you know, buildings, and they rent them. And they believe, you know, that again, money is everything and you have to get the maximum and don't spend. There's no room for relationship or stuff like that. But my personal experience, you know, was, you know, I had some dealings with renting and having rentals, was if, again, we go back to the human principles and establish some sort of relationship that, you know, you show them that you do care and eventually they care for you. It makes amazing economic sense because the people who are renting from you, they understand that they're not just dollar sign to you. And that will affect their attitude towards the building or the place you're. I know we had rentals that they would go for months not trying to talk about the problem because they were worried that it creates a headache or some expenses. They tried to find their own remedy, fixing their own thing. And we were on the other side, we were waiting. No, this is too old. It has to be replaced. It was such a wonderful competition that we are idealistic, you know, we believe that it will happen. It would be very common that a person thinks of the rentals and rental people who are renting think of the owners. And this goes to the factory, the workers and the owners. And same principle applies. You know, we don't have to hate each other. We try to understand each other. And in the long run, everybody is better off for it. Because we have peace of mind, the economic system works, the rate of damage decreases. You know, if some tenant doesn't like you, they'll find a way, create things and damage things that you have to replace them and make them. So it doesn't even make economic sense, because you basically have your enemies in the place who are ready to find any opportunity to damage something and create a headache and cost for you. And then you don't trust them because you think they're going to rip you off. So this whole, beside the spiritual and mental, emotional part of it, it doesn't even make economic sense. So that's one example that I felt it. I'm not saying it applies all the time with everybody, but I think at least it's a good base to start. Why not we start with trust rather than mistrust? This is the big question. Where do we want to start this system that we are going to build? On a mistrust, or believing that man is noble and believing on the good qualities and based on those principles and assumptions, build a system, or just say he's a rascal, selfish person, and you know we have to make sure that he's not getting out of hand, so all the rules and regulation try to control.
What other principles in your list? And I understand the list is growing too.
You know, the whole society based on going for interview to get the job. And it's such a common thing that you put your best in front, and when somebody says, who are you? You never ever mention any negative. And it makes no sense to me. Why are you hiding? Eventually this will be, you know, expose who you are. But why don't be real? And do you think the person who's interviewing is fool enough to believe whatever you're saying, your resume, which is so well constructed and well written and everything, they believe every word in it? So this is a whole kind of a funny game we play. The interviewer knows that you're not real, and you know you're not real. You don't have to show your real face because you may not get the job. This is a game of cat and mouse that we play. Why not be honest and say, you know, I'm not perfect, but I have these qualities I have. Or we sell a car. I remember I was selling a car and told them, by the way, this is rusted there and this and that. And the guy said, why are you putting your car down? It's a good car. So in the end, I got a better price for it. Sometimes it works, you know. But you know, we can start those principles of not playing the game. Then it goes with the advertisement. Every day you look at the TV or advertisement, what are the advertisements are for? Basically selling something and hiding the defects or problems in it, and making it that this is something you really needed and you have to buy it right now. Call us in 5 minutes and order your thing. Otherwise, I don't know what happens. The whole earth stops rotating or something. and then makes it that, and by the way, this, they're not necessarily for you. This is not part of your needs. They're kind of a wants. So they make those, you know, once as part of like, you need to have a white teeth. Otherwise your life is miserable. And so then commercials, the people, they use psychologists to make those commercials and hide things. And one has to be very savvy about it. You can't believe everything they say or you'll be ripped off, because they are not truthful. We know about cigarette. We know about all the stuff. We know about all the medical things happening. Why are we doing this? Why are people being harmed by this kind of phony advertisement? Why can't demand for a system that doesn't have to rely on misrepresentation of facts, whether it is interview or whether it is a product? These are the fundamental questions as business and as economics system we have to question. Do we want to play, do we want to do this dance? Personally, I don't want to, because I don't like the tune. But that's the dance, everybody's doing it, and they think they are successful. Or they say, this is all we have, and they're right. We don't have, at the moment, alternative, but it doesn't make it right, and that's the basic question. Because we don't have alternative, it doesn't make it morally and consciously right. So we continue enabling this, a bankrupt totally decaying system to make it last another 10, 20 years longer, rather than say, listen, this is not working. Let's be real and let's think about alternative, or let's make some changes at least so that its effects are not so devastating. My heart goes to all 3.7 billion people who are poor every day, have to deal with poverty, not having the things they want, living a miserable life, And I feel guilty in one sense as a human being, you know, but what have I done? So I don't know. So you'll be all question that and try to make little changes, whether it's a dollar somewhere we save on a hamburger or some jacket that doesn't have to be, you know, from the fanciest boutique in the thing, and give it to some sort of organization or people so that we hopefully remove that gap. Whether we are a business organization, think of our employees that they don't have health care. If you really want to have it on those bases, take care of your workers. Make sure they have insurance. Make sure their life is taken care of. Because in long run, that's going to pay you back. When you care for them, they will care for you. And these are the things that I really think we can do. It is within our power. I don't understand why people have so much knowledge and they know what is wrong. But the moment they go to their business, they forget all about it and they start playing the game that everybody's playing without even questioning. And it makes no sense.
Look for opportunities to help coworkers and competitors. Some people could, I think, understand the idea of helping a coworker, but helping a competitor. Tell us about that.
Well, there are two parts. One is the business life that we have, and we have to compete, which is fair enough, you know. But as a human being, you know, we have a different duty. The person may be your competitor in terms of business, fine. But if he's in need in some ways and he needs it, that's not good enough excuse not to help him or not to care for him, because, again, my idealistic brain says we have to extend it to everyone. And we have in our writing, the mystic writings, the religious writing, to say that you idealistic have to prefer your brother over yourself. Okay, we are not going that far. But extending a helping hand or sympathetic ear to someone doesn't really cost much. But that's the courtesy to do. That's the human way of dealing with it. And this is a decision we have to make. Do we want to have a system which encourages humanity and caring and love and this? Or we want a system who doesn't have room for it? And that's the unfortunate situation at present. People are fundamentally good and nice, but they don't get the opportunity to exercise those kindness, those affections, those extending. And in that sense, the quality of life is going down. So if money is not going to really make them happy and happy, because they're not happy environment, they're not in that happy environment, and nobody's happy. So that's what I'm talking about, is we should be ready to extend a helping hand or anything we can do to whole mankind. And if it's be a competitor, so be it. He's in trouble. What is wrong with helping? I see nothing wrong, but I'm sure people will correct me and say, you're stupid. You don't know how business works. Believe me, I do know. But it doesn't mean it has to come at the cost of my humanity. And that's the question. At what price are we going to sell our humanity? When the dollar becomes more important than my spiritual quality and more moral quality? And these are the basic fundamental questions we have to answer as a whole human race. Where do we draw the line? Where money is more important? I thought money is a tool for us to use it in order to help and provide a service. I never looked at it as a goal of my life, but unfortunately, there are people who have got it wrong. They think they have been created to earn money, and the more of it, the better.
Give with a sense of sharing rather than with a sense of loss. And it seems to me this is a big one, because it speaks to the charity ethic, which thankfully humanity is moving away from at this point. But it also speaks to this idea that so much of the time, business companies want you to think they're doing you a favor, and right, that this has cost them so much to do. And it's almost like a bargain to try to buy loyalty.
That's right.
We're going to give you this thing, but we want you to know this has really cost us a lot to do.
Which is a lie, of course, most cases.
Right.
If it would cost them that much, they wouldn't do, because there is no. So if you believe the whole system is on making profit, if you don't make profit, you'll be out of business. Either you're a charity organization, so you declare it, or you're lying, because If there was no profit, then you wouldn't be doing it. And if there is something you're losing, but it is for tricking you so that you spend more later. So they're going to get you. This is business. This is not ruthless. This is the way it works. We are there to provide service or something for money. And if we give you 10% discount now and you feel it's a good thing to get, but believe me, later on we'll charge you 20% more. So you're going to pay for it anyway. But yeah. It looks that this is goes back to the psychology of advertisement and presentation, mispresentation, rather I should say, that they present it as you have done your favor. But reality is they're doing themselves a favor, because it goes back to the fundamental basic of economics. It's all about me. And it's about me maximizing my profit.
So really what you're saying is that all of this comes down to some sort of deceptiveness, deception, which in itself is not truthful. And as we know, truth is the basis of all the virtues. So if you don't have truthfulness, then you have some kind of a deception going on.
That's exactly what I'm saying. The compromise we made, the price we paid for getting that money was being not truthful, not being honest. That's the price that I say is very fundamental, when we have to check it and say to what extent we want to go to earn that money or that profit. What are we going to sacrifice on the way to get that? And I think every individual person, they go to business or any other situation, they have to question, where do they draw the line? Where do they start going, crossing the line and lying and not being truthful? Of course, I know how they justify it. I'm not lying. I'm just not mentioning the negative. Well, you call it what you call it. To me, it's lying because you're hiding the truth. And that's the basic. And how long do we want to play this game? And everybody knows it. And there are some people they don't know. They believe every advertisement they see. Oh, my God, 10% off. What a deal. Oh, my God. Yeah, if they were, losing the money, I mean, that business would be out of place in no time.
Do you think that humanity has reached the maturity right now to begin to institutionalize these new ways of thinking about...
Yes. I have to say that this is a topic you get me, I'll be jumping up and down. I'm so excited because for all years that I know, since my first book was in 1989 or something like that, 82 I started it, I'm trying to talk about, what is happening with the economic system and what is the problem with it. And every time I talk to anyone, whether they're religious or economic, they find it boring and they change the subject. But now everybody knows that things are not working. It's so exciting. And they're looking for, and they're worried, of course. They don't trust, Wall Street. They don't trust it because they have been burned badly. It's so easy to convince them there's something fundamentally wrong with this system. It is so exciting for me. And that to me is a sign of maturity. Humanity has reached a certain level of awareness that they are, this is not like a 5-year-old kid, they are understanding which one is fact and which is not true. And that's where we are. The beginning of humanity trying to figure the right from wrong in sense of economics. If this guy is selling mortgage, is he providing a service or is just not telling me that the rate of interest in 6 months is going to be from 2% to 12%? They're hiding, they're omitting those facts that I should know. So now they are very much on their guard. And it's very difficult to fool them. And there are people actually been protesting on Wall Street and the different places, and they want basically asking for some sort of solution and stop to this insanity of greed, which is ruining everybody's life. This unchecked greed is playing havoc in the world. And people are realizing everything. And that makes me amazingly excited that I don't have to sell it anymore.
And that's a change that you've observed.
Yes, and it's increasing every day thanks to technology. I give you another example. There are so many good-hearted people, they want to do something charitable work and give some money or something. Before, they were so limited to so many agencies, and most of the money would go to administration costs and this and that. And by the end, their donation would reach maybe 5%, 10% or reach to the destination of the person that they wanted to. Now there are so many organizations. I can give example of Kiva, which is a bunch of volunteers. They did it and then they, you know, basically microfinancing their people who want to buy two chickens and a goat or build a toilet or do small, maybe $100 to $200. And they don't know where the bank is. They don't know where to go and get a loan. And
they wouldn't get a loan anyway.
Yeah, exactly. It's not worth the paper, you know, for the bank. So now this organization that I really, you know, and I'm sure there are thousands like that. Your money, 99%, 100% of it goes to them. Yeah, you help them the loan. And the most important part is this: their dignity is intact. This is not charity. This is a loan, low interest or no interest loan. They get the chicken, they get the goat, get the milk, and they pay it back. So they don't feel that a charity is done. And that is the goal of economics, to protect the dignity of every human being, no matter how poor or rich they are. And most of the time what happens, religions and other organizations, they have done charitable work, which is great, but it made people lose their dignity because of accepting charity. And that's the change of technology, that the blessing that we have. We couldn't do it before, but now we can. And that's a game changer to me. We can make a difference anywhere. We can teach somebody sitar or guitar from one village in India to another village in Africa. This is what technology has done us. It shrunk the whole world so small. And unfortunate that our heart hasn't really opened up so much. So this is the process we are in. The world is shrinking around us, but our attitudes and our feeling still is old. So hopefully by that awareness, that will be changed. And that would be really great. But I see the sign and that makes me amazingly excited. I just, believe me, I jump with joy because I see the changes. I mean, you have to look for it sometime because there's so much misinformation and bad news and all the negative and killings and all. But if you really want to look for it, there is so much beauty is happening. There's so many beautiful changes that are happening. Unfortunately, it doesn't sell in terms of news. So of course they are not mentioned or they find it boring. But reality is for every negative news, there are 10 good news happening. But unfortunately, people don't want to see it or they are not looking for it. But I see the changes and I'm absolutely, absolutely excited. And this is another point. This is one time in the history that history doesn't repeat itself. So if we were before saying, you know, according to my knowledge of the history, next thing will happen this because it happened 2 centuries ago. No, our history is made every day. And the past is no indication of the future. Every day is a new day. Every day I get up and I just find out, oh my God, there was a discovery, new discovery, new number of stars. They find out new galaxy. They find there is a new cure for this or that. Now the cell phone has become banking system in Africa. They don't need the bank anymore. You want to buy 2 carrots or potatoes or tomato, you use your cell phone and pay for it. So all those money would go based on salaries and buildings are gone. These are amazing, exciting. I call it, we live in the age of miracles.